It's very, very good, as always, to be together this morning. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad to be here. And what we're doing, even though it's still the depth of summer and so forth, and some of us are in and out, we're moving into a season in which we see what it is to hear the call of Jesus into fellowship. Where does He want you to be? How does He want you to be there? What's your place? Where do you hear His voice? In what surrounding, what fellowship do you connect with the presence of Jesus? We're entering into a season where that becomes richer and deeper and more important for us. Not that it's ever unimportant, but that it is. It's a focus that we are entering into. And part of that is because we are, as we've talked about the past few weeks, looking at our vision and some of the value statements that we have. We're going to start the new member class very, very soon, within about a week to 10 days. And a number of you would be in on that. The bishop will be here all in October. All of that points to God moving us in a way, in a direction, putting a calling, if you will, onto where do you hear my voice and follow after me? And with whom do you do that? And so we've been looking at what it is for St. Francis as a fellowship to be a good neighbor to the community around us. And we've seen a few things about that. It has to do directly with God placing you, calling you into a fellowship so that from that fellowship you begin extending the kingdom in the way He has asked you to do it. And we've seen that part of what we do as a fellowship is really uncover the assets that are in the community and start bringing them out because they're placed there by God. We've also seen that people who are in need, for that need to be met in a way that is helpful to everyone and pleasing to God and so forth, we see them as friends instead of clients. We've seen that. And we define them by who they are instead of what they do not have, as Jesus would do. We've seen that. And today, we want to look at a third portion of that, what it is to be a good neighbor, what it is when God calls you into a fellowship that is beginning, or has been for some time, extending the kingdom, His kingdom, into the community in the ways that we have been describing. And that is, God wants you to give things away. He wants us to give things away. And what He particularly wants us to give away is our calling. The job that He's assigned to you, He wants you to operate in such a manner that you give it away. So what am I talking about? You're thinking, well, that's what I'm going to spend a few minutes unpacking with you. So some of you may have studied at some point, particularly in the 80s. There were other periods in, earlier than that when this particular principle was very important and widely read, called the Pareto Principle. Anybody know what that is? Boy, I'm really going to sound ingenious today. The Pareto Principle is that you'll recognize it as soon as I say it. In fact, you think, that's where I live. 80% of the work is done by 20% of the people. Thank you. It just, oh my gosh, this, the thought of that principle. I'm sinking down. Yeah, 80% of the work is done by 20% of the people. And you're probably thinking, that's the way it is here at St. Francis. That's the way it is where I work. That's the way it is in every place that I am. And I don't want to be part of that 20% anymore because I'm stuck with 80% of the work. It was a fairly prominent church growth principle where the lead pastor would be encouraged to spend 80% of his or her relational time with 20% of the congregation. In other words, the 20% that was doing all the work, you'd spend, the pastor's in 80% of the time with them to build them up so that more work would be done. And that was, at that time and previous to that, that was certainly a very powerful and effective principle. I think today, not quite so much, for a number of reasons. One is our culture has shifted, dramatically, where every idea today is equal to every other idea in the culture. It's a flatter kind of culture. And so a top-down arrangement doesn't resonate with as many people as it used to. A lot of churches, as you know, have that top-down arrangement. And it's hard to shake. but still, that's as long as that top-down arrangement is there, the Pareto principle needs to be employed, or another way needs to come. So let me describe it this way. Most churches will have a government in which there is directives from the congregation to the board to the pastor. That's a congregational form of government. Those of you who are raised in the Baptist church, that's what you're used to. Others have it just the opposite, where there is a pastor, bishop, whoever, who then talks to the board, who talks to the congregation. The directives go that way. I mean, that's a generalization in both ways, but that's generally how people imagine it goes in a church. Just as an aside, in the Episcopal Church, we managed to combine both of those, as well as a third one. The Presbyterians have something altogether different, and we've woven all three together, and more on that in the new member class. So we'd be lost if we weren't there today. But the idea is still, most of us think hierarchically about the way a church runs. Now, you know that you're thinking hierarchically about the way a church runs when you think about St. Francis and you think, well, John's running the church. That's his job. Most people think, my job is to run the church. You could say, yes, that's right. That, or you could say, yes, I think that, whatever you want. And of course, we have the vestry and we have the congregational meeting and so forth. As I mentioned, we've woven all three together. But when it comes down to day-to-day, the decisions, talk to me right after the service, whatever, it's so that I make the decision because I'm running the church. Right. Right? Yeah, right. Okay. That's the way that it is. And a lot of people think that. A lot of people who don't go to church think those kinds of things. Just the other day, someone was saying, well, John, he owns that church over there. No. Well, that's another reiteration of that. I believe Jesus would say that my job, my first priority, is to follow him in such a manner that anyone else can imitate what I do and follow him as well. That's my first priority as a pastoral leader. And it'd be to imitate me, to follow me in such a manner I live that kind of life where not only someone can see what I do and imitate that and start and wind up following Jesus, but they do it to such a degree that other people follow them in following Jesus. That's my job. The second priority would be to share with others as we set it up in the decision-making about what needs to happen at St. Francis. So there's two reasons. If you come to me after a worship service and ask me a question, what do we do about this? And I appear to have this blank look on my face. There's actually three things going on. One of them is I do have a blank look on my face. There's just nothing left in there. The second reason is I need to recharge after a service like this. I sometimes appear as if I don't, but usually I probably do, and you're looking at me thinking, well, all right. And the third reason is the last decision, as our bishop likes to say, the last decision I made by myself was to make no more decisions by myself. You know, so if you take a responsibility and then you come up to me and say, what do I do about this? I'm going to say, I don't know. That's for you. You do that. And we do that together or whatever is needed to be. But it's not me running the church. It's me finding a way to follow Jesus moment by moment so that you can follow Jesus and other people can follow you to follow Jesus in every possible aspect of our lives. Now, what can happen, what can sabotage that, is that we get into the hierarchical position and way of doing things, and you start getting into that 20% of people who's doing 80%+ of the work, and you start thinking, I need to get out of this. Right? Okay, right. So that's what happens. So, yeah, I mean, you can say it's all right. I feel that. You feel that. It's all right. It happens. That's the way it is from that hierarchical manner of doing things. And that's what we see with Elijah today. Elijah, where Bill read that reading just a few minutes ago. By the way, didn't he do great with all those names? Yeah. So here's Elijah. He has challenged the prophets of Baal. He's having a lot of trouble with Ahaz and Jezebel anyway. And they have this prophet duel, him against 5,000 prophets. He wins. He gets to kill them all. He does. And Jezebel gets really mad and puts a hit out on him. So he runs, you think. Which I couldn't quite figure that out at first. He's able to wipe out 5,000 prophets and then one hit from one queen and he's off. He's, whoa, get me out of here. Nonetheless, there he is, and it's probably this Pareto principle. He says, well, one more thing. I'm out of here. And off he goes, and he's hiding in the cave. And God shows up, as you recall, and says, Elijah, what are you doing here? Well, I'm doing all the work, and there's nobody else helping me with all the work. And So God, this huge wind, this huge earthquake, and then this still small voice, and Elijah's hiding from all this, sneaks out to the edge of the cave. Elijah, what are you doing here? Nobody's helping me. Nobody's faithful. I'm doing it all by myself. I'm the only one. And you would think if God was any kind of a pastor, he would have said, there, Elijah, I understand. It'll be fine. We'll try to find somebody else to help you. Maybe we can make some announcements or something and see what's going on. But you've done a wonderful job. You would think that's what God would do. I mean, if he went to any of our churches around in America or whatever, that's what would happen. However, God says, answers him in two ways. And he says, all right, go out and do your job and do it in the way that you support these other specific people. And secondly, give your job away to Elisha. That was it. Do your job in a way that supports other people and then give it away. Now I ask you again, what search committee would have put the name of that one in for election? No, I don't think anyone. But there he was. That's for us. That's what God our Father would tell us to do. To do that very thing. Now that, as we apply that through our personalities, through our gifting, whether you're apostolic or prophetic, evangelistic, whatever it may be, when it goes through that kind of work that's already in your soul, and we together start moving into the community and making friends in the community, we start uncovering assets, start working with people as friends instead of clients, and we begin seeing things that could happen. What we want to do is do our job that supports other people and then gives away the leadership. So if I were to ask somebody, well, okay, if there's one thing you'd love to add here in this wonderful place, what would it be? And they say, well, it's this. And then I say, well, if there's other people around who would join in with that, would you be interested? Yes, I would. Right there, we together start supporting that person, and we see out of that group who becomes the leader, and it wouldn't be us. We would give it away. Because that's how Jesus would have it done. That's how Elijah that great prophetic hero was told to move on, keep working. That's how we would step into the community to extend the kingdom of God in that manner. That's a very different manner than some of us going out, meeting people and say, you need to come with us, and you need to come with us, and you need to come with us. Well, maybe they don't need to come with us. Maybe they need to be encouraged, being opened up to God, filled with the Spirit of God, and released into what He's called them into to such a depth that they give it away after a little while. Now, okay, is everybody okay? Okay, good. I'm not convinced, but I'm going to go on. All right, so here's a way that we can begin stepping into this. And what happens quite often is we still think hierarchically that somebody's running the show and they've got an organizational chart and I'll take my place on the chart for a little while, I'll take my turn, and then it'll be time for somebody else. just allow me to gently point out that is not a Christian pattern. What a Christian pattern would be is you doing what you feel God's asked you to do in such a way that somebody else can imitate you, and you give it away. That is a little different than giving it up or resigning or quitting. Just between you and me, I prefer to call it dumping. Where, here's my stuff, I'm not doing it anymore, and you find somebody else. And you've probably done an absolutely superb job and taken the organization at least a step, probably more, into its next season. What hasn't happened is the imitation of your life so that somebody following you can follow Christ in doing that work. Just speaking generally here, I'm sure you and I, we don't do that. It's just the way that it is. That can happen. Our focus, where we want to go, what we want to do, is to live in such a manner that if somebody were to take up the way we live, they would know Jesus and they would be able to show somebody else the same thing. It's exactly what we promise when we present people for baptism. Godparents promise that. Will you live in such a way that this person grows into the full stature of Christ? In other words, will you spend your money, arrange your schedule, work your relationships, and do everything else so that when this baby's grown up and starts looking at you, they know who Jesus is and can do what you do? That's the deal. Now, what that calls for is not an up and down hierarchical manner of doing church. I like to call it sideways. It's a sideways way of doing church. So that if there's a pastoral leader who, by the grace of God, because it's the only possible way of doing it, you are able to live in such a manner that other people start imitating you and they know Christ, and other people start imitating them and they know Christ, what happens is you're moving in the same direction, kind of sideways, kind of down the road, kind of a flat leadership, instead of somebody who somehow got some kind of special knowledge and starts telling everybody else what to do. Believe me, if I told you what to do, most of the time we wouldn't get anywhere. It just wouldn't work. Because I'm an odd kind of a guy. But if I'm following Jesus, and you follow Him because you learned how to, watching me, we're moving along, extending the kingdom, seeing what other people have in their gifting, able to release them and encourage them into it, serve them in such a manner that they're able to move on in that, and then able to release all of that work, if you will, so that it's self-sustaining, self-propagating. All of that. Some people call that a movement. That's what we can do. It costs very little compared to some the hierarchical manner, which can be very financially expensive. The sideways, what it costs you is being crucified daily. But hey, that's what Jesus promised. All right. Okay, so what do we do about this? How does this work? How do we begin to practically apply this? Well, you might ask Jesus, what is it you're asking me to do that will be supporting other people and then I would give away? See, if you're called, you are called to not only do a certain thing, but to do it in such a way that other people are built up and you give it away. Your final call is to give it away. As you've been asking Jesus, what is that that you would want me to do? How do you want me to do that? That would be one way of going ahead with that. One way of really submitting yourself to Jesus in a manner that you can walk with him every day. All right, I'll tell you what. Let's do that. Let's just leave it right there with that step and see what happens. Why don't you ask him this week that some manner of that? To what are you calling me? How do you want me to support others with that? And how would I give it away? And that becomes the core of your life. The thing that you get really good at. So that somebody else watching you gets really good at it. And then they can run with it. All right, let's stand.